want to stand? Join me for a word of prayer. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you. Thank you so much for this morning. Lord, that we can come and we can praise your name. Lord, how good it is to stand in awe of you for what you have done in our salvation. Father, we recognize like what we sang, sang this morning and what we said read in the psalm. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I'll call on him as long as I live. We praise you, Lord, because you have given us your salvation. While we're helpless and completely dead spiritually, enslaved to sin, you have sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, in order that we could have everlasting life simply by trusting in him, by putting ourselves, putting our burden before the cross. And we thank you for this, praise you for the salvation you have granted to us, and that you have given us this privilege that every day of our lives that we could start living for you, and that as every day eternity goes forth, eternity begins now and how we live our lives for you. Thank you for giving us this experience even while we live this life of the good promises that you have promised us in the future. And you have given us a good deposit to all of us who call you by name. You have given us your Holy Spirit who lives in us, God himself dwelling in us, Lord. We cannot fathom this greatness. We cannot fathom this mystery. But Lord, thank you so much. The fact that you have given us this life, given us your Spirit, and the fact that our lives is connected to Jesus Christ right now, even as he reigned in heaven. And Father, we recognize this, and we say this, Lord, because we have to confess oftentimes in our lives that in everyday experience, we don't live like that. Father, we don't live as though we have eternity in our hearts. We do not live as though God himself dwells within us. Lord, instead, Lord, we run to our own ways. Father, we ask for your forgiveness this morning, how we live our lives. Lord, so often we do not recognize even the thought of you indwelling with us has not even crossed our mind in a day. Lord, our thoughts, our actions do not reflect the fact that you have given us new life. And we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. And we ask for your forgiveness how we treat our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How we not have a good example to those who are outside of faith. And Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, this day even more to live a life that's pleasing to you. Father, your word says train yourself in godliness, and this is something we're supposed to do every day. Lord, we're excellent at training ourselves for our work, for our school, but Lord, we also often neglect training ourselves for the life to come. Oh, Lord, please change our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that by the precious blood of your Son, Lord Jesus, we have that forgiveness. And, Lord, so we just ask that you would help us, Lord, henceforth help us to read your word more. Lord, as we read your word, approach your word, speak to us your word. Teach us, Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, for your righteousness, for your holiness in our lives. More and more, Lord. This is now our natural desire, but Lord, we know that this has to come from you, and so we ask that you give us the gift. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, your mercy. I thank you for our church and the many giving brothers and sisters in our midst. We thank you so many who have helped serve the meal yesterday at Milwaukee Rescue Mission. We continue to pray that you would do your work, do the work in Milwaukee Rescue Mission. Father, we thank you so much for as well for the evangelistic outreach we have yesterday, the Chinese service. We trust that you would continue to do your fruit there. And we thank you for our church. We thank you for the membership meeting we have today. Father, we lift up our membership meeting. Lord, I pray that this will be a time of joy as we reflect on your goodness in our church's life. We pray for peace. We pray for unity during our time of meeting. Father, we also pray for your wisdom. We are going to be affirming a deacon, Paul Leon, we ask for your wisdom to do so. We also ask wisdom for our budget. Father, may all that we do in our church be pleasing in your sight. And Father, we do pray, we just continue to pray as well for our nation. We have an election coming up this Tuesday. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would raise up godly leaders. Lord, help us in our country. Lord, we feel like there's a sense, general sense of being lost. And Father, we do pray, Lord, that you will raise up godly leaders in our midst, who will lead our nation once again in your truth, Lord, seeking your truth and walking in your ways. Father, we do pray for us personally as well, for many who are sick. We ask for your healing. I pray for, continue to pray for our brother Mike McDonald, who will be undergoing surgery in 2 weeks. Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would help the surgery to be successful. And we pray that you would help him to recover quickly. We pray for many of our high school students who will be heading for college. Lord, may they continue to seek your wisdom. And we pray for those who are in college already, that you would, they would walk in your truth. And Father, we lift up the rest of the service. We pray for our brother Don as he shares with us today. Lord, give us your word. Lord, may you speak your word to your servant. And as usual, we pray for all the fellow brothers and sisters in the world, especially those who do not have the freedom to worship. Lord, that they would, you would give them freedom. Lord, they would find comfort and joy in your word. Thank you so much for this time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Could we recite the Lord's Prayer together as found in your inside bulletin? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have the privilege of having our brother Don Bader to be our speaker this morning. Don Bader has worked with international students in our church, and he's working with a ministry called Chi Alpha. He's a great brother from a church in Port Washington. Am I correct? Okay. And let's return the time over to our brother Don Bader.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you, worship team, for leading us closer to the Lord in music this morning. If you guys would bring up the first slide of my PowerPoint, that would be great. Many years ago, while attending chef school in New York, a classmate invited me to a Bible study on campus with some students. I was not a Christian at the time, and even though he was a good friend of mine, I turned him down. I thought, why should I spend my time, my spare time, studying an old book like the Bible, something written thousands of years ago? There are so many more important things for me to learn right now, like reading recipe books and learning how to cook better. So that's what I did. I spent my time in the library writing down recipes so that when I got a job as a chef, I would have all the information with me. I didn't have time for the Bible. At that time, I believed that the Bible really had nothing to say to me. Just an old book. About 6 months later, I was now living in Houston, Texas. And I was working part-time for the Census Bureau. I was working full-time as a chef and then part-time for the Census Bureau. And so my job was to go door-to-door in some of the rural areas around Houston. I had to find out the name and address of the people who live there and how many people live there. One family was just about to eat when I knocked on their door. Of course, I had been doing this all day, so I was hot. It was summertime in Texas. It was hot. I was sweaty. And they must have seen my condition. They says, why don't you come in and have lunch with us? I said, sure. They had an air-conditioned place, cold drink. It was a great deal for me. Anyway, they started talking to me, and I found out he was a Baptist pastor. And they started talking to me about the Bible. Again, I was not a Christian at that point. I really wasn't interested in hearing about the Bible. But because they invited me in, I was polite. I think I was polite. As best as I remember, I was polite. And let them talk to me. They invited me to come to their church to study the Bible. I think I told them, yeah, I'll come, but I never went. I never went back to that place. Again, studying an old book just didn't seem to have any value to me. About 8 months later, I had moved from New York to Houston to Galveston. I was living in Galveston. I was working as a chef at a yacht club. And a co-worker invited me to church. I went with her to church only because I liked her, not because I was interested in church. But her family met me, and they gave me a Bible. So now it seems like, you know, maybe God's trying to give me a message here. So all these people are talking to me about the Bible. So I decided I should at least try it. I'll read it and see what happens. So I opened it up, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. I started to read. I read about 3 or 4 chapters, closed the book. What? I didn't get anything out of it. I couldn't even understand what it was saying to me. So I put it back on the shelf. A nice book looked good on my shelf, but that was the only value that it had to me, because it made no sense. About a year later, I'm still living in Galveston. In fact, I lived in Galveston the same time Pastor Steve lived in Galveston. But we didn't know each other then. But anyway, I'm still living in Galveston. Through a series of difficult events in my life, God got my attention. And in my roommate's apartment, I got down on my knees. I gave my life to the Lord. I was serious. I was sincere in that commitment to the Lord. I picked up the Bible again and started to read. What a difference. Now all of a sudden, it made sense to me. Those words started to come into my heart. There was life. There was encouragement. There was hope as I was reading. I couldn't believe the difference from before when I tried to read and now. I couldn't wait each day. When I would get done work around 3 or 3:15, I'd get done work. I'd hurry home so I could take my Bible. I lived right next to the ocean, to the beach. I'd take my Bible, go down to the beach, find a quiet place where no one else was around, and I'd read. And I'd read, and I'd read. And it was like I read through the whole New Testament in just a very short time, because now I was so hungry, so desiring to hear something from God. And His words were life to me. And they were putting life, His life, into me. My life was changing. My coworkers couldn't believe the changes that were taking place in me. They were wondering, what's going on? What's happening? It was God. Because I wasn't really trying to change at that point. It was just the work of God. I was really an uncooperative vessel. But God was determined to work in me. He was determined to teach me His Word. He was determined to change my life. And He did that. I experienced in a very personal way during those days. One of the verses that we'll focus on in the message this morning, and here's the verse. We're not going to start with it, but we'll work towards it. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. That is what Jesus said to His disciples. So our sermon this morning is from the Gospel of John. We're going to be in chapter 6. We'll continue right where Pastor Steve left off last week. And I'll start with verse 60. So 6:60. And my method this morning is we're going to go through each verse. Some verses I'll say a few comments on. Some we're just going to kind of read them. I'll make one or two points, and then we'll continue. And then at the end, I'll summarize what we've talked about and then bring some applications for us. So we'll begin with 660. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" In order for us to understand this verse, we have to go back to what Pastor Steve talked about last Sunday. And so we need to go back to verse 53, and this is what they're referring to. 6:53 says, "I tell you for certain that you won't live unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man." So what was Jesus saying there in that verse? Flesh and blood were a Hebrew way of saying your whole life or the whole person. They could only eat Jesus if he died, right? So when Jesus is saying, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live, Jesus was telling them he's going to die. And he's going to die in a way that will benefit them if they're willing. So Jesus is saying life will come through his death. That's the point. So let's get back to 660. On hearing that Jesus would die and his death would bring life to them, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" They didn't say, "Who can understand it?" I think they understood very clearly what Jesus was saying. They said, "Who can accept it?" Because their idea of a Savior was not a Savior who would die, but a Savior who would fight for them. So they had a whole different picture of what they expected from Jesus. So it seems that they understood what Jesus was saying, that he was about to die. And they didn't like that. They didn't agree with it. So 661, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" They felt offended. Have you ever been offended by Jesus? Think about that for a second. Has Jesus ever said something in his word to you that offended you? Maybe like, love your enemies. I don't like that one. You know, we want to fight our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. Or how about, forgive those who mistreat you? Have you ever been offended by the words of Jesus? They were. And they rejected what Jesus said. And more so, they rejected Jesus because they didn't agree with what he was saying. They didn't want to do what Jesus was saying. And as we're about to see, when people don't accept what Jesus says, they walk away. They turn away from him. Y'all with me so far? 662. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? At first glance, it seems like this doesn't even fit with what Jesus just said. Let me give this to you in a little bit different translation. What if you should see the Son of Man go up to heaven where he came from? What if you should see the Son of Man go up to heaven where he came from? So in these words, Jesus is talking about His death, His resurrection, and then His going back to heaven. We call that the ascension. I'll put it in my own terms. Jesus says, after I give my life, after my flesh and blood are given for you on the cross, and after I rise from the dead, and after I return to heaven, then you will realize that I am the source of life. Then you will realize who I am. In this verse here, Jesus refers to Himself as Son of Man. That phrase, we often miss it, but to the people He was talking to then, it had a lot of meaning. And I want to read it for you. It comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Here's what Jesus is saying about Himself. These words are from Daniel. I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into His presence. Do you catch that picture so far? There was someone who looked human, but He was more than human because He went on the clouds into the presence of God. Verse 14, He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey Him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. When Jesus used that phrase, Son of Man, this is what they would think of. Jesus was saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Savior, and I'm the King. I'm the one who is going to rule over all the world. So let's go back to that verse in John. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before? Very similar, just a short way of saying what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. So what Jesus says here is so extremely powerful. He says, I'm going to die. My flesh and blood is going to be given for you. But He will not stay dead for long. He will rise and return to heaven. And from there He will rule not only over Israel, but all the nations of the world. He will rule as Lord. That means, through what Jesus is about to do, death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Devil is defeated. Hatred is defeated. Evil is defeated. Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus rules over all. Then Jesus continues. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Just as after Jesus died and rose on what we celebrate as Easter, His resurrection was by the power of God's Spirit, bringing Him to life. So He says, the same Spirit that will bring me to life is in the words that I am speaking to you. And those words will put life in you. Those who hear and respond to Jesus' words experience God's life. That's what I was sharing in the beginning. That was my experience. The reason all those times the Bible didn't connect with me and then all of a sudden it did is because now my heart was open to hear and receive from God. And when my heart was open, God poured in. Many people who heard Jesus on that day, and many who reject Him now, do so because they do not believe who He is. I think in this verse, Jesus is saying, there is no other teacher, no other philosophy of life, no other person, no other source that has words, that speaks words, that can impart life. Jesus is setting His words different from all the other words that people hear day after day after day. So Jesus is emphasizing the power of His Word. His words are spiritual. What does that mean? It means they feed us on the inside. They're not just for here. They are for here. But they go deeper than here. They go to here. His words are spiritual. They feed our heart. They feed our soul. His words are full of God's Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to produce life in us. No other religious teacher, no other religion could offer the same. Only Jesus. He's setting Himself apart from all the others. Verse 64. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray Him. This is a verse filled with terrible tragedy. Another version says, but some of you refuse to have faith in Me. In other words, they rejected His offer of life. They rejected the giver of life. Here's another version. This is from the Message. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this. I am sure every one of us, each one of us knows somebody who has heard about Jesus, maybe even followed Jesus for a while, for a short while, but has now turned away from Him. I have family members who have done that. God, bring them back to You. Speak again to their hearts. Jesus went on to say, verse 65, this is why I told you that no one can come to Me unless the Father has enabled him. Goes right along with what He just said. Here again, the emphasis is on the work of God's Spirit drawing people to Him. I know sometimes we talk about a person getting saved and we say, they found God. Have you ever said, they found God? You know, my sister found God, or my friend. But really, God is the one who finds us. He is the one who finds us and brings us to Him. I like the contemporary English version translation for this verse, it says, "You cannot come to me unless the Father makes you want to come." You cannot come to me unless the Father makes you want to come. That's my experience. I was not interested in God. I was not interested in the Bible. But God didn't give up on me. He kept working in me. He kept sending people into my life. He kept, you know, gave me a Bible. He didn't stop. And His Spirit eventually made me want to. That was a change He did in me because He loved me. Many people choose to reject Jesus, but God never gives up. He keeps coming after them. That's what Jesus is saying there. 66. From this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. Even though they saw Jesus face to face, it wasn't enough. Still, they turned back. Ever been rejected? I'm sure all of us have. How does it feel? Hurts bad. Hurts so bad it can make us physically ill. No one knows rejection better than Jesus. And yet He keeps on loving. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. What a question. I hope this is a question Jesus never has to ask me or you. Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I love Peter's response. I'm sure Jesus was heartbroken by what was happening with many walking away from Him. But Peter takes a very positive approach here and says, "Lord, there's no one else for us to go to. Only You have words that are filled with life." All the people that were there heard the same message. A lot of them chose to reject that message. Peter opened his heart to receive. And note in this verse that Peter doesn't only talk about what Jesus says, but he emphasizes coming directly to Jesus. "Lord, to whom shall we go?" It wasn't just the words of Jesus. It was who Jesus is that drew Peter to Him. In other words, Christianity is always a commitment to a person, the person of Christ. And Peter says, "We believe and know that You are the Holy One of God." Believe and know. That's a declaration of extremely strong commitment. Not just from the head, but from the heart, from the will, from the emotions. Peter refers to Jesus here as the Holy One of God. In other words, he recognizes that Jesus is the one and only Savior and King. He recognizes that God has set Jesus apart from all other that's in the world. Peter got it. He understood who Jesus is. The Spirit was working in Peter. The words that Jesus was speaking were being used by the Spirit to produce life in Peter. He was experiencing exactly what Jesus was teaching at that moment. He was seeing what he never saw before in Jesus. Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. First of all, Peter's confession of faith leads to Jesus saying or affirming the positive result of his choosing him. He's saying, "Peter, that's why I chose you, because I knew you would respond. I knew you would open your heart to the message." But then Jesus says, "One of those will not respond." And he pointed him out. The word devil means adversary. Back in this verse here, the word devil, "yet one of you is a devil," means adversary. It means he was opposed to Jesus. What a sad ending to a really powerful conversation between Jesus and his disciples. I think this is the key verse, the central verse of the conversation that we've looked at this morning. I'll read it again. "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." Jesus seems to be pointing out the incredible value of his words. When his word is truly heard and responded to, his words are not like the words of other teachers in his day or in ours. His word, the Bible, is not like a textbook. It's not a history book. It's not a story book. It's God's book. God's words that impart life to those who read it with an open heart. His words are unlike any others because there is no one else like him. 5 brief applications, and then the worship team, you can come back. First of all, what do we do with these words that Jesus has given to us today? The first response, feast on Jesus. You understand the word feast? Spend time with him. Live close to him. Talk to him. Hear from him. Fill your life with him. Eat and drink him. That's what he was saying. Connect your life to Jesus. Secondly, study his word. Put his word in your heart. It's not enough to just read a couple chapters every day or even a couple chapters every week. It's not enough to just read it. Put his word in your heart. His word will bring life. His word will bring health. His word brings victory. His word brings peace. His word keeps us on the right path. His word prevents us from going the wrong way. His word makes you a strong follower. Put his word in your heart. And third, keep your heart open to the work of his Spirit. If you reject or ignore what God says in his word, you could end up like those who walked away on that day. If we close our heart to him, we're finished. We're done. Keep an open heart. Fourth, never forget the great privilege of salvation. I think Paul mentioned this during the worship time. We have been invited by Jesus to be with him. His Spirit has drawn us to him. And Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you?" That's true for each one of us. Jesus says, "Have I not chosen you?" never forget the great privilege of salvation. And finally, follow the example of Peter in verse 69, who very strongly and with all of his heart declared to Jesus in front of all the others that were there, some rejecting Jesus and some staying true to Jesus. Peter blurts out, "We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Don't be afraid to confess your commitment to Him in front of others. Follow the example Peter gives us in these verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to study your word. What a privilege to hear from you. What a privilege that you have chosen us, that we are here today because you have drawn us here. Father, I pray for each one of us. May we always have open hearts. May we always allow your Spirit to work in us. May we always receive your word. Father, I pray for each. Plant your word in our hearts, deep within our hearts. Make us strong followers of you. And Father, I pray that you will help us to live out the truth of your word day after day after day. And Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.